Welcome to the Excellent Archives, where we watch each and every episode of the 90s CG cartoon, Beast Wars. I'm James.
I'm Dode.
And today we're talking about episode 32, Other Visits Part 1, the sixth episode of season 2, which aired on February 1998. So we actually got a bit of a gap, because if I remember correctly, we were last in November when we were getting episodes.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess, like, for all we complain about, like, modern shows taking a break off, we have, like, a pretty big gap between the last episode and this one.
Yeah, when I was a kid, like, I would just, like, not, because I didn't, like, TV Guide wasn't a thing in my world, I would just watch, and then if there was a new episode, great. If there wasn't, I get to watch one of my old ones I actually like.
Oh, yeah, no, Catchling. Like, this is, I haven't really talked about this much, but, like, season two, I actually missed a lot of these episodes. Like, I actually thought this episode ended, like, at the midpoint. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, this is where the episode ends. Like, oh, what, there's more to it?
We don't even get the, like, name of the big MacGuffin for this episode. Or not MacGuffin, the big plot thing for this episode.
Yeah. Like, the only ones I remember really clearly from this season are Aftermath and the Coming of the Fusers, mainly because I think we got a free promo tape that had all three episodes on it.
Oh, cool.
And then the last five, because they were aired on Cartoon Network.
Yeah, I grew up without cable, so, like, I didn't know Beast Wars on Cartoon Network, period, until, like, actually, I think the first time you mentioned it when we were recording.
Well, I think it was just a special event where they had it on there. I don't think it was a regular broadcast thing.
Oh, okay. Was it on Toonami?
Yeah, it was on Toonami.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Like, they had, like, promos of it, of just, like, taking it over.
Okay.
Like, did we include the one where, like, Rat Trap shoots Johnny Quest in it?
Nah. I didn't include it. Like, we talked about it last week, but I didn't include it.
Oh, yeah, it makes... Yeah, we can include that when we actually get to those episodes, which we're getting there soon. Two more away, in fact.
Yeah.
Anyways, so this episode was directed by returning director John Pooser, who wrote and directed and produced The Grocer's Wife. I think we did mention the summary before, and it got, like, really weird and, like, adult.
Yeah, no, I looked it up again because I remember we talked about it before. I thought, just in case I needed a refresher, and I realized, oh no, this plot is not okay to be mentioned on our podcast because we're trying to be all ages.
Yeah.
Although, from what I read, if you know what A Dog Breakfast is, the movie, not the saying, and you like that, go ahead and go watch this.
I will second that recommendation, even though I'm not sure.
That's the only movie I could compare to it.
Yeah. So this is third of four episodes, previously from Double Dinobot, Law of the Jungle, and he'll be returning for season three, and for one episode of Beast Machine. Then, of course, written by Larry Dottillo. Of course, since, like, this is an Aliens episode. The Vok, so he's here for this. Actually, it's weird how you can make some parallels between the Vok and I think we mentioned this in his first appearance, where he wrote The Mask of Nyarlathotep. Like, I can sort of see, like, some elder gods in the Vok, both in terms of their design and, like, unknowing role and, like, alien technology.
That's true, yeah.
Like, I didn't really think about it until now, but, like, there's definitely that influence in them.
Yeah, when I was writing that, I had forgotten that we mentioned that before.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like we said, he's also, among tabletop RPG fans, he's also known as the author of Massive Nyarlathotep, campaign of call for the Call of Cthulhu RPG, widely considered one of the greatest RPG campaigns ever written.
Yeah. What if he still writes RPGs in his spare time? Something we could probably, like, locked up.
I mean,
I definitely would, like...
I think at this point in his career and life, it kind of comes down to what you consider spare time.
Yeah. Anywho, let's get into the episode itself. So, we kind of get a nice recap of the alien plots, where we get a scene of, like, the different things from, like, the ruins from Chain of Command, the island, and We get, and it zooms up on the various sigils, cup onto a grid, and then we cut to the alien disc, and the symbols match up to on the disc. So it's kind of like bringing, like, trying to bring everything together.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out that either A, Dinobot was not lying about getting things to Rhinox, giving the disc to Rhinox, or he gave it to, decided he probably should actually give it to Rhinox in between episodes.
Both are equally likely, so.
Yeah. So, they're trying to find out where other alien sites are going to be. And in particular, they realize Tigertron and Airazor are in the path of one of them. And I do like how this is not a real Dinobot-centric episode, but in little bits where he interacts with the Maximal cast, you do get a bit of tension, kind of reinforcing how they're not sure how to trust him
mm-hmm.
after that.
I mean, so just objectively, all he really did was beat up Rattrap and give him the disc.
Well, no, he also gave... Yeah, that's the big one.
All right.
As Rhinox comments on, like, him handing over the disc to Megatron. I think particularly because, like, Dinobot says, like, who cares about the aliens? Megatron is more important. And Rhinox is like, yeah, sure, it would be handy to have that golden disc. Wonder why we don't. Like, he shades him pretty hard.
When we find out what the disc actually is, I find myself wondering, why did the Maximals hold on to this thing? Like, I guess they just came across it, but which explains why they have it. But why keep it?
What, as opposed to, like, destroying it or something?
I mean, granted, they didn't really know anyone was going to go back in time and use it. But at the same time,
Right.
I mean, but I'm like, why hold on to it?
They kept it in a secure facility.
I guess, yeah. I don't know, I'm just going to chalk it up to the Maximal Elders being shady again.
Yeah. I also forgot you're referring to that golden disc and not the alien golden disc.
Oh, yes, sorry. Yes, okay, so what I meant was, why did the Maximal Council hold on to the original golden disc and not just, like, get rid of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, getting back to the episode, they try to phone into Airazor and Tigertron. But unfortunately, they're being jammed by Megatron's many jamming sites. You know, in, again, continuity back to the last episode. Dinobot says, oh, we'll take care of that. He and the Rat Patrol heads out to go and destroy the jammer. Whereas Optimus, Cheetor, and Silverbolt head out to try and catch Airazor and Tigertron themselves. So anyways, we cut to Tarantula in his lair, who's been monitoring the aliens as well, and rides out to go them. And of course, and further complicating webs within webs, we have Black Arachnia, who's stuck on monitor duty, presumably because Megatron's, like, is only trusting her where he can keep an eye on her at this point.
Like, literally, she's in eyesight of him.
Yeah.
By the way, like, back at Tarantula's lair, like, I could have sworn the computer voice was the Maximal voice.
Oh, I did not notice that. I wonder...
Well, I mean, the easy way to tell is, like, the Maximals have a male voice, the Predacons have a female. Yeah, I don't know, I just... maybe he stole something from the Maximals and he got Sentinel's voice instead.
Maybe. Not listed as an error under the description, so... Mm. Could be, could not be...
I'm just going to say he hacked their computers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, of course, Megatron is immediately suspicious because of Tarantulas just being being treacherous.
Mm.
We get a good, nice exchange from it with him in Inferno. Blast that scheming spider. Again, he defies me. Say the word, my queen, and he shall burn. Not just yet. And for the last time, stop calling me that. And then to which was like, as you command, my. And then he gets cut off as, like, Megatron, like, grabs him on the neck with his tail.
Does he? I thought he just grabbed him with his hand.
It was either his hand or, like, the claw in his tail. But, like, either way, just, like, same effect.
Oh, I thought he just, like, grabbed him around his neck with one hand and just, like, lifted him up in the air. I was just going to say that then we cut to Tigertron and Airazor finding some plant life for the first time. since the Planet Buster attack, and I don't know, I'm not totally sure why, but they decide to, like, they need to investigate.
Well, oh, one more thing. Yeah. I almost forgot. Like, the context on, like, so the Predacons, like, Quickstrike and Wallspinator are going to be defending the Jammer, and Black Rifle says, like, so, or, do you want us to go after Tarantulas? Do you want to back them up? And Megatron's like, nah, the most important thing is to get back the is, with all the Maximals out, it's the best time to go and take the disc. So then we cut to Tigertron and Air Razor. And remember, like, they're out to, like, see if they can find, like, the other down stasis pods. That's the whole reason that they're out here.
Yes. There's no mention of a stasis pod this way, though.
No, no. Like, this, aside from, like, an episode coming up, like, they don't really go into, like, what happened to all the other down stasis pods. It's one of the, probably one of the bigger, longer plot holes of this show.
Yeah. Which they it does get fixed in The Gathering, right?
Yeah, they do go into that there. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so they're going along in what I didn't catch, they actually into Gridzerium, which I bring that up because it's actually a subtle sci-fi reference where it's named after Zerim, a Japanese live-action film, which I think is probably also well-known for, it has an animated sequel, Iria, Zerim, the animation. It's like I'm an immortal bounty hunter, like, fighting a bounty hunter fighting an immortal alien creature. It's like a super, like, Japanese 80s thing.
Definitely like, sounds like it.
Yeah. And it was, like, nice getting it in. Like, I think that there was a previous episode they had a Grid Arrakis, of course, referencing Dune.
Because
it's nice for them to get, like...
I think it was last week, actually.
Yeah. Huh. Anyways, so... Tigertron sees a plant seed, which is... And what follows it back, since it's the first time we've really seen plant life, like, both they the characters, and us as the Watchers have really seen plant life on the planet, since we haven't really, I don't know if we've really mentioned it, but since the Planet Buster's attack focused on the Maximals, like, basically the whole area around the Maximals has been, like, blasted to hell and back, and pretty much every place they've gone to has been, like, similarly arid.
Considering, like, the, a certain valley we'll see soon, I can't help thinking that what if that area is the reason why the Sahara is a desert?
Huh. Maybe.
Yeah.
Good thing.
Headcanon. So, I'm gonna headcanon that. That's canon to our podcast now.
Uh-huh.
The Vaka, the reason for the Sahara, the Sahara desert.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Anyways, so they track the sea back to where they have this plant. And, like, you have, like, a kind of moment with them, like, them kind of, like, further establishing their romance. Just, like, their hand-in-hand, just, like, thing of nature. But, unfortunately, nature is not so friendly in this one as vines come up and grab them. And I made a comment, like, it's like, what's this, like, tentacle vines? What are we watching, Kiss Players? Don't Google that.
Yeah, well, you have to mention that 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. Anyway, so they get grabbed and, like, get pulled apart, and you get an exchange for, it's just like, wherever we go, my spark will find you, and mine yours, before they get blasted into space just as, like, Cheetor arrives. And, like, so Tigertron and Ares are gone out of the series. Like, I always remember this being, like, the end of this episode, or at least the end... Like, I actually thought it was, like, the end of, like, Other Visits, period. Not just, like, the or even at least the end of Part 1. I didn't realize it was just, like, happened halfway through. As they get zapped into space.
Right? Yeah. I always... Well, you know, it might be because of the recap of Part 2. That's why we both think that. I feel like this is the kind of thing you would probably want to, like, end a recap on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I actually felt that this... I realized that there were hints of it before, but like basically saying "I will find you," I felt like it came a little out of nowhere. But at the same time, I'm fine with it. Like this the romance having developed off screen. That's a decent explanation for it.
Yeah, I really wish we got a fourth season of the show to kind of really establish because they will come back in a fashion, but it'll be slightly anticlimactic.
You say they come back. I refer to it as them having a kid.
Yeah. That's another way to do it.
Yeah. What was the actual term for the type of relationship in Cybertronian society? There's actually a word for it. I forgot what it was.
A conjex?
Maybe?
It's conjex and Jura? I know that's more than IDW. Anyways, you can look that up.
Yeah,
so we have a commercial break. We cut back to the dark side. Megatron realizes that the aliens are here. And which makes it even more important that they get the disc. Let's see. So then Cheetor like kind of laments that he couldn't do anything for he's like, oh, we could have warned them if only that stinking Megatron hadn't. But then Tarantula shows up and shoots him in the back. He is pissed that the aliens are back again. But then Optimus shows up and he scurries the hell out of the way.
This actually was adding salt to the wound. Because having Cheetor basically having to watch them die, these two he's had a very strong emotional connection with in the series so far. Having him be there, get there like literally a second too late, was just a horrible like gut wrenching 1-2 punch.
Yeah, it's true. Like, we haven't seen them... It's been a while since we've seen them together, but yeah, like, Cheetor very much viewed, Tigertron as, like, a mentor or, like, big brother-type character. And also, like, I think he, like, kind of crushed on Airazor when she first showed up. So yeah, it is kind of, like, a big, like, it is kind of a big deal. Like, that's part of the reason why I thought that was the end, because, like, to give a moment just, like, Cheetor going on his helplessness as opposed to being, like, the halfway point of the episode.
Just to help me find it easier, in the IDW comics, who is Cyclonus's, like, basic partner?
Tailgate.
Huh? Tailgate, okay.
Tailgate.
Okay, thank you. I'll find it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, so Optimus and, Silverbolt show up, and since there's nothing they could really do, they're only just to head back to the base and kind of curse them that they couldn't get it in contact. So we cut back to the Axelon, and Rat Trap and Dinobot are mostly taking down the jamming station. Waspinator and Quicksilver are not particularly effective. They're just like holding on to the tower as like Rat Trap Dinobot is like eye lasering and Rat Trap calls it in, and I think it eventually falls down and like squashes them. Like, it's not the worst thing that's ever happened to Waspinator in the show, but it's definitely not the most dignified. And, yeah, and Rattrap's like, yeah, like, now we can call it the Lady and the Tiger. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, Waspinator's pinned down like Iron Butterfly.
So Rattrap Rosen's like, yeah, like... Now we can, like call them, like, the Lady and the Tiger. And then poor Rhinox says, no, they're gone. Which catches them off guard. But then Rhinox gets visitors. Where Megatron is showing up outside the ship. To which Rhinox activates Sentinels and summons all of the guns. Like,
He summoned a Looney Tunes gun.
Yeah, like, you see, like, the regular Sentinel turrets, then you have, like, this big array of, like, a million guns, like, that pose right in front of him, and then, like, a loudspeaker comes out so Rhinox can talk to Megatron. It's a pretty good gag. Megatron says, like, oh, I come in peace, and Trench is like, and which Rhinox is having none of. I think he's... Yeah, Megatron was like, oh, I come in peace. To which Rhinox responds, you're about to leave in pieces. Rhinox has no time. I think Megatron also responds, like, oh, I just want to talk. To which Rhinox says, well, it's a free planet. Of course, all of this is just a distraction. as Black Arachnia and Inferno are underneath the ship and cutting inside, Black Arachnia asks Inferno if he's ready to rock and roll. He says, like, I don't rock and roll. I burn.
So he's more of a fan of Johnny Cash than anything.
Yeah. Or maybe future WWE superstar Seth Rollins, since his song has "Burn It Down."
Oh, I got another musical fire reference. So Billy Joel may have not started the fire, but maybe Inferno did.
Maybe he's also a hit of, like, the Prodigy's hit single, like, Firestarter. Okay, that's all the fire songs I can think of right now.
I had one, so you beat me.
So he tries to... So they shut off power to the ship and catch Rhinox off guard, and he tries to fight them up, including a Rock'em Sock'em Robots x Pugilist duel, including, like, Inferno's head extending when he gets a good jab. During this time, like, Black Arachnia tries to sneak away the disc before Rhinox tells him, like, hey, you don't want to try that. Before Megatron gets up behind him and rips off his arm, like, beats him up and rips off his arm. Which is pretty brutal.
Yeah, when he just says to Black Arachnia that you don't want to try that, you can really hear in his voice just how close to the edge he is. Like, he's been having a day, and he does not know how to deal with them.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, like, he's dealing with alien stuff, two of his comrades are gone.
And he has to
deal with all this Dinobot drama.
Also, as one of the few non-trans metals left, he's just getting too old for this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess maybe in this case more too outmoded for this.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Black Arachnia asks, we're gonna finish off the Maximals when they get there. And Megatron says, like, we don't have time for Maximals. To which Black Arachnia says, when do we ever? Except for that hunky silver one.
Found it. All right. So a Cybertronian marriage is basically or at least a spouse, conjux Endura.
That's what I thought it was.
Okay, yeah. Wait, what's this one?
The sharing of innermost energon.
Yeah. I think the ritual is called conjux ritus? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Yep, junkies.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Sorry, I can't believe how long that took me to find.
Yeah, that's all right. I probably could have found it faster if I was looking, but I was discovering.
Yeah.
Also, everyone should, again, regular reminder, read IDW Transformers. It's really good.
Yeah.
Anywho. So. But yeah, so we get our first bit of, like, Black Arachnia reciprocating on, like, the relationship.
I think this actually might be the... Well, I mean, I don't think Silverbolt refusing to, you know, shoot her counts as him making the first move.
No, that's true.
Yeah. So maybe it was. So I guess. If Axelon Archives canon, Black Arachnia initiated this relationship.
Okay.
Yeah.
Optimus shows up and, like, reattaches Rhinox's arm, who feels bad about losing the disc, but Optimus tells him don't worry about it. Cheetor is, of course, first priority is saving Tigertron and Airazor somehow, and Dinobot says, like, don't bother, let their sacrifice, to which, like, Cheetor responds very angrily, saying, like, yeah, it'd be like a pred to say that. So again, kind of showing, like, a lot of people, like, kind of have short tempers. Like, Rhinox also, Rhinox at the beginning, like, had a line just, like, about, like, Optimus being too trusting. So, you know, people are not cool with what Dinobot did. I like keeping that thread in, so...
Mm.
Yeah, so it's not just like, oh, Dinobot betrayed, but he's back with us! Everything's good until he dies. But anyway... Yeah.
So, I don't know what happens in Code of Hero except for that last scene with, like, him up on the hill. So I'm wondering if this will play into that or not. Don't tell me.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. It's just something I'm wondering if, like, just like how the jamming towers ultimately played a role in Tigatron and Airazor's final fate. I'm wondering if the maximal distrust of him will, like, ultimately mean that he has to stand alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, you go back to the dark side, Megs has the disc, Black Arachne is like, well, what, we have the disc, so what? How's that going to help us survive against the aliens? To which, like, Tarantulas comes to, like, kind of, like, try to, like, Tarantulas comes to, like, basically upstage Megatron's theatricality.
The exact line was, Megatron says, it holds secrets only I know. Then Enchantress just interrupts him saying, like, but only I can implement.
Yeah. Megatron is not happy and tries to order him to do something, to which Enchantress says, like, I am no longer under your command. Which is, like, pretty bold statement to tell the guy who has, like, multiple armed Predacons on him.
Did you know like, this? Did you notice Inferno, like, as Megatron is talking, before Tarantulas shows up, he's being his little stooge and just, like, nodding along with him?
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice bit of silent comedy.
Yeah. On that note, Inferno offers to exterminate Megatron and says, no, leave that to me. I want to extinguish his arc spark, atom by atom. But Tarantulas is like, you can't do that. I gotta help. You gotta help me. So then, we cut away from them, and then shortly back to the Maximals to say where Dinobot says, like, we should definitely take out the Predacons at this point, so we can deal with the aliens. And Optimus actually agrees with them. So Optimus points out, yeah, last time we did it, this is bigger than us. But the last time we did a truce, it didn't really go well. It was very much the letter of the law rather than the spirit.
Yeah, I think he actually says the last truce was a joke.
Yeah, and it was.
Yeah, no, my note literally says is the last truce was a joke in more ways than one.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but then they I forget whether they either detect the Preds or the aliens. But anyways, they head out
mm-hmm.
to cut to the Preds who are anchoring some sort of stuff into the ground, which we get a conversation of Megatron asking why Tarantulas is helping, to which Black Tarantulas is like, oh, he just hates the aliens real bad, which catches Tarantulas off guard. It's like, how did you know that? It's like, well, we shared a mind. I got to see some stuff too. It's like kind of nice, like always nice to have like Black Arachne kind of dunk on Tarantulas, especially when he's trying to be the coolest guy in the room. We do get a bit of an exchange, like, between Tarantulas and Megatron. I was like, is all in readiness? This time the aliens will get a welcome they didn't expect. And then I'm not going to try to do it, but then they go into an evil laugh off, which is pretty great.
Yeah. I'm wondering how much Black Arachne actually knows about him. Like, he's got some, like, you mentioned before, he's got, like, the most complicated origin of any character. How much does she actually know about that?
Yeah, like, knowing both of his origins, I could see, like, him hating the aliens going either way, really.
Yeah. I mean, knowing one of those origins, and how the aliens came to be what they are now, there's lots of reasons for him to hate them.
Yeah. And anyways, their laughing is interrupting as the Maximals show up for a fight. Megatron says, like, oh, leave us to handle this. And Optimus is just like, yeah, you mean like the last time you handled the aliens? But all of them get interrupted when the aliens actually show up. And we get a cool sequence because this is all happening where the plants were. Where the vines all grow and, like, start to form an array to, like, receive energy coming from the sky and turn to like a big kind of like bud structure. It's much more elaborate than like the weird kind of like mushroom dome of like the one from the end of season one.
Yeah.
And forming what we'll find out is the Metal Hunter. And it sends out a pulse that knocks out all the Transformers, leaving us on to a to be continued.
So Inferno is the one who actually points out the aliens are coming, and then as the vines start growing up, he promptly runs away from the vines, screaming like a little girl.
You can burn them. Why are you scared of vines?
I think he was just surprised. He was just startled and started screaming.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, it's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna try to get that up actually. You guys will be in for a chuckle. You wanna replay this video over and over.
Yep. So, but that's the episode. You get a climax like the aliens are back. Everyone's knocked out. What's gonna happen? Which we'll find out next week. So, I mean, not that we're gonna give the episode description just yet.
Yeah.
Also, fun fact. With this episode, so I think we mentioned this on like Tigertron and Air Racers one, like how Air Racer is a man in Japan. And they're played as, like, as a master and Ronin relationship. So, apparently, this one, they kind of have to, like, weirdly, like, play up the romance where they downplayed it in all the other previous episodes. I'm curious how it actually plays, but, like, it seems a very weird thing to suddenly have to try and write around.
Well, I mean, just going by just physical acts, the only thing you really need to write around is the hand-holding.
Well, apparently, like, they come out to each other, and, like, the Japanese, they come out gay, which I imagine just, like, as a Japanese, if you didn't know what was going on, it would seem like a very random thing to happen.
Hmm.
Granted, it's all up to themselves, because, you know, they want to change the character.
Was it Master and Ronin? I thought it was more like, Senpai and Kohai.
I mean, kind of, like...
For, well, like, also the purposes of the show, it's kind of you can't actually have Master and Ronin, because, like, Ronin would literally means masterless samurai.
Well, like Tigertron would be, like, the samurai Ronin, and he'd be the ward.
Oh, yeah, like, okay. Be the Ronin. That's more like what I was thinking of, yeah, the warrior and the ward, okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, so we don't actually need to do a character spotlight since we've covered most of the characters involved in this already.
Mm-hmm.
So let's cut to any. Do we have any messages from the Golden Disc this week?
Nope. I checked this morning for any new reviews. We got nothing. Okay. And let me just double check that we didn't get anything on Twitter.
I thought I saw something from Lewis.
Let me check. No. Oh, wait, here it is, yeah, someone was setting up their office, and they got a bunch of Optimus Primes, which I believe we retweeted that.
Yeah, at George Christick. No, Lewis tweeted at us and said, that's just Prime.
Yes.
Because it was a shelf of Primes. You see what he did there.
Yeah. Just adding on to the last week, so we tweeted this out, but I'll read it here. For those curious, in Groomed, Paul Hogan of Joe Millionaire fame takes a schlub and puts him through a gentleman's boot camp in preparation for a special romantic event with their lady love, like proposals, weddings, anniversaries, birthdays, and other special celebrations. But James's version is canon to our podcast.
Yeah. Oh, did we ever shout out Kimby? I missed it. I don't need this mention. It's from back from February.
Let me see. February.
Yeah. A little behind. Just finished episode 7. Never realized that the Preds are all dinos, bugs, things that make a lot of people go ew, while the Maximals are all what we see as noble, majestic creatures. Well, except Rat Trap.
No, actually, we didn't. I think we'd mentioned before that episode that Kimmy was on, that the dividing line between them was Predacons were the bugs and reptiles, and Maximals were marine life mammals and birds.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, it's basically like a lot, basically everything that our primordial brain would tell us, like, stay away from this, are the Predacons.
Yeah, it looks like you're spot on. I don't know if we mentioned her on stream, but like, we're doing it now.
Yep.
Sorry. It's bad if we're getting messages, we're missing. We actually get messages.
On the upside, anyway, though, like, because she's catching up, She doesn't know I'm behind on the visual companions.
You're getting there. Like, you get the bonus episodes. You're almost out at season one. You're out of season one. You're almost into season two.
Yeah, I did do two of them this week, and let me tell you, that first bonus one was, well, it took a while to gather up all the pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we get into our, MVBs.
Alright, so you started, let's see, who, damn it, I forgot to pick one ahead of time again.
You give what last one to Tigertron, your favorite character.
All right, because he's dead, I won't disrespect the dead.
He's not dead.
He's not dead, but I will say this. Hey, Tigertron, your quote-unquote love of nature got you killed. How do you like that?
Well, obviously, he should be more paranoid of alien stuff.
He really should. Remember Brigadoon? He thought, oh, this is just this wonderful natural paradise. Mm. Dude, it was a goddamn battle station. Yeah, anyways. He's a... you know, I'm not giving it to Tigertron. I'm giving it to Cheetor.
You can tell it's serious, Cheetor, because he didn't have any goofy lines.
Yeah. He's sort of being forced to grow up.
Yeah.
By the plot.
All right. I'm going to give mine to Rhinox, who is just, like, so done with everything. Fought his hardest, but still got an arm torn off for his trouble. I mean, he's a robot, so he can get it reattached, but still probably isn't fun.
Yeah, he's, like, very much turning into a Danny Glover from Lethal Weapon / John McClane figure.
Yeah. Poor Rhinox, you had a transmetal toy, you just didn't get it for some reason.
Yeah, actually, I believe next week, because I was grabbing the next episode preview, next week he does say, I'm getting tired of waking up in the R chamber.
Yep. Anyway, so speaking of next episode, with the alien craft in his possession, Megatron intends to use it to conquer Cybertron. Other Visits, Part 2.
That's kind of a spoiler, huh?
Well, yeah, I guess because the... I mean, one could assume that they're getting up at the end of this episode.
Yeah. No, I just meant to, like, the fact that the craft is in Megatron's possession now.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. It probably happens in the first 5 minutes.
I mean, you write these previews. I don't...
I'm taking them from the wiki!
Okay.
Like, I'm not watching the episodes ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Alright.
Anyways, do we have anything more to say, or should we head to the closing?
Tigertron. You suck.
That's better than you give him credit for.
All right. He needs to be more careful. How about that?
Yes.
All right. Go ahead and get this closing while I'm giggling.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to the Axelon Archives. If you have any questions and want a guest on the show, talk about Beast Wars, you can reach at us on Twitter at Axelon Archives or by email at axelonarchives@gmail.com. You can find the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Podcasts, Podknife, Podbeam, and Stitcher. We're also soon to be on Spotify. Please leave a rating and a review because that helps people find the show. And check out our website at axelon.buzzsprout.com. If you want to follow either of us on Twitter, you can follow me at Discord_Inc.
You can follow me at Doubtback.
And until next time, the Beast Wars continue.
Beast or bot, we're still the baddest.